We are continuing our discussion concerning a mother's role with her son or sons. And in many ways, as Christian leaders, these types of discussions are not talked about enough. And because they're not talked about enough, a lot of sort of the common conventional wisdom, like dads alone are important for their sons and moms are important for their daughters. Of course, dads and moms are important for every child. But we're focusing on the moms with sons. Today we're going to talk about certain kernels. These will just be truths that you can bring into messages, you can bring into counseling, you can just have in your Christian leader repertoire. Now again, when he writes us as addressing a woman, a mother with her sons. So a lot of it's going to be, you can do this, mom, and you as a Christian leader, translate these principles into your specific situation. So he says to a mom, what can you do? And here's something that in general a pastor or a Christian leader can do, brainstorm on what steps a mother or mothers can take to be the parents they actually want to be. Help them stick to that plan. Remember, it's all about connecting with your child, and nobody else can take your place. So many times people think, you know, I'm stuck. I can't do anything about it. You'll have a mom come in panicking, talking to you that things are not going well with her son. This is a time to really sit down and say, okay, and if you have a whiteboard or a chalkboard or something, you green light with her as to very specific topics that might help her. So today you're going to find out some of those very specific topics. First of all, balance is vital. There's a place for letting boys be boys, but there's a time when they need to be gentlemen. Teach your son to know the difference, and he'll be way ahead of the game when it comes to pursuing that girl he has an eye on. And this is if you're dealing with teenagers. Teach your son that kindness matters greatly. Your son should be taught the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that rule should be followed in your home by all members of the family. If you want your son who, if you want a son who will give to the poor and others in need, model that in your home. So, first of all, balance. You want to teach balance as a mom to your son. Addressing sexuality. Above all, teach your son to treat his own sexuality with care and to treat his date, if he's a teenager or he's in his 20s or he's courting. However, the definition of dating and coupling is in your specific culture. To have that, treat his that whole courtship process, his date, that's what they call it in many circles in America, with the same care and respect. The question is to solidify in his mind is, if mom was watching me, would I be comfortable with my actions? Hormones run wild, and they can run wilder if there's no check on them. Teach your son the importance of keeping his penis in his pants and keeping his roving hands to himself. Dating means for two people to get to know each other, to see if their future relationship is possible. Again, we call that courtship. But that relationship is short-circuited as soon as sex enters the picture. These days, in so many Western cultures and other parts of the world, so many people aren't virgins when they get married. If you teach your son the wisdom of waiting until his wedding night to share himself sexually with his bride, your son will be a prize catch indeed. We're going to talk very specifically about sexual issues with young people, learning about their own sexuality, prepared later, in a later presentation in this class. Kevin Lehman talks about this quite a bit in other books he's written about. But just for now, understand that sexuality is very important, and that training for sexuality and being married is something that is very important, and it comes from the mom as well as the father. Help him to be responsible is another kernel of truth. So treat your son as part of the family. After all, he lives in a home, not in a hotel. So he should pitch in to help. The more tasks he does, the more confident he gets in doing them. I want to say that again. The more tasks he does, the more confident he gets in doing them. You know, confidence in the workplace later, first of all, comes on how many things a young person does when they're growing up. I remember that my parents were always helping me get to be confident in doing things. I had a job at 14 and another one at 16. By the time I was in college, I was confident about certain things. That confidence starts in the home. As a result, his confidence levels increases, and he can do even more and more on his own. Never do anything for your children that they can do for themselves. By giving your son age-appropriate responsibility, you are helping him get ready to move into the adult world as a healthy, functioning member of society. You know, this is the principle with moms to sons. This is the principle with dads to daughters. This is the principle for parents, for both sons or daughters. That whole principle of teaching them responsibility while they are at home with you. Help him be comfortable with failure. So mom, give your son the freedom to fail while he is in the nest. How you handle his failures is so much more important than how you handle his victories. It's easy to be critical, to pick at flaws, to harp continually on mistakes he's made. But think of it this way. If your words were directed at yourself, how would you feel? Shamed? Embarrassed? Or would the gentleness of your words and the actions make you say, you know, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid. So thanks for pointing me on the right path. I'll do better next time. Will you help me? See, there in how you have that attitude about failure is, hey, get back up there. Let's try it again. Try something else. Let's pray about it. Here's another one to really keep in mind, a kernel of truth. How were you treated? And this is something that is a kernel because as a mom, how you were treated as a child by your father does leak over into how you treat your son. Think about how did your dad treat you? Do you have any unresolved issues with him as a result? Are there ways at which your son reminds you of your father or of the things that annoy you about your husband or your ex if you're not married or the man who fathered your son if you're just a single mom and these issues are pertinent in you? In what ways do these feelings influence the way you treat your son? How did your mom treat you? Was it similar to how your dad treated you or the exact opposite? How did her treatment make you feel? Do you have any unresolved issues as a result? Use a two-column list on a journal or talk to a trusted friend to help you separate your feelings about your father or, for that matter, your mother from your feelings about your son. In a lot of ways, what this is called is a genogram. And in other classes at Christian Leaders Institute, we talked about diagramming various things that push buttons, that hold you back in your parenting. This is a very important thing. And to be freely self-aware of things that happen in your life, be open about these things. A lot of times what people do is they kind of cover them or keep them there, don't want to talk about them. And then what happens when they parent? Just things burst out or things get hidden in, and it hurts those relationships. So to really be honest about how you were treated and how to move beyond some of maybe unresolved. In the world of Christian psychology, when they say unresolved, it means the hurt is still there. The bitterness is still there. There's something there that basically holds you back from freely acting out as a mom or a parent in a way that really brings health to your marriage, to your family, to your children, to others. So, one key issue could be your relationship with your father. Your relationship with your dad has everything to do with the way you think of and treat your husband, if you're married, men in general, your son in particular. Any frustrations you experience with your dad can be passed on to your son through you just because your son is a male. What they call that is they call that transference, where just because he's a male, he pricks certain hurts or unresolved issues from your past. Now, somebody may say, well, this sounds a lot like, you know, psychology and stuff like that. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's all over the Bible. You'll see that, for instance, in the story of Joseph and his brothers. You see the unresolved jealousy of the brothers getting pricked the moment they see that coat of many colors. And what do? They react in anger. Instead of dealing with their jealousy, they react and they put him in a pit and sell him to the traders, the Midianite traders that go to Egypt. Here's some more kernels. And these are principles in Dr. Kevin Lehman's writings that appear in almost every one of his books when it comes to parenting. And that's the authoritarian parent. And I'm going to remind you of just briefly what they are. You'll see them again and again. And these are great tips for pastors, leaders, Christian leaders, elders, deacons. As you're leading chaplains, as you're leading, you're going to see these critical pulls and what to do about that in parenting and in many authority issues of life. So there is the authoritarian parents. See their children as little and themselves as bigger and better. They allow no freedom for individuality in their child or anything or for anything to happen beyond their control. They're really control people. They make all the decisions for the children. Use reward and punishment to control their children. Often the debates about about punishment and about using spankings and all of these things. A lot of times the excessive debate comes with authoritarian parents who right away use extreme discipline forms. So in a lot of ways, the authoritarian Christian parents have given Christianity a bad name in Western society over this issue. So a lot of people will then react. Well, how will they react? Many people then react with becoming permissive. So then you have Christian or secular permissive parents who believe and act like their child is the center of the universe. And what happens, they rob their child of self-respect by doing things for him that he should do for himself. Often they're a consistent yo-yo based on their child demands. And their goal is to make their child's life easy street. A lot of times people call gentle parenting is a word that's out there right now. And again, gentle parenting can be very much included in this next category, authoritative parents, who are loving and consistent in their discipline, and that can be gentle, who present age-appropriate choices, who let every family member have their say, hold their child accountable for his actions, let reality be the teacher. An authoritative parent basically lives out that Ephesians chapter 6, 1-6 passage where there is, look, we're in a relationship together. Children, obey your parents. Listen carefully to them. Parents, don't exasperate your children. More and more, you want your children to have that sort of owning their choices. When something happens that they created, if possible, may they live with the consequences. You are not the consequence. Your authority is not always up to grabs. It's the consequence that basically communicates. So let's talk then about, we've got that authoritarian, we have that permissive pole, and now authoritative understanding. And now let's think about that in terms of actual your children. So first of all, let's talk about your firstborn. What does your firstborn need? Well, your firstborn needs to know his place in the family and in your heart is secure. Often a firstborn is very sensitive and they'll question things like that. Because new people come along, if there's more children that is in the family, and that firstborn can all of a sudden feel like, you know, I might not be loved like I once was. So be sensitive to that. He doesn't have to do everything or do it right. That's some of the struggles the firstborn has, a little more perfectionism, and it's okay to fail. Those are just key issues a firstborn needs from you as a mom. What does a middle child need? To know that he has an important place in the family and that what he thinks and feels matters, to be encouraged in his area of strength, and to develop a good core group of friends, since they'll be a key part of his life. And that core group of friends is very important. You know, one of the things I always heard encouraged from very qualified Christian leaders and counselors is try as much as you can to be the host of friendships, you know, at your house. Hey, and have your kids hang out at your house because you can be part of that selection process. What does your last born need? To know that life isn't a continual party, that he has to pull his own weight in the family. Fun is a good thing, but sometimes you have to get the job done too. To realize that not everyone will think he's cute or that what he does is cute. To learn how to think through situations and see the consequences before he acts. To realize that manipulating others will only go so far before his brothers will pound lumps on him. Now, what that means is, hey, look, a lot of times the older children in the family, this is sort of an American phrase, will sort of regulate the actions of a lastborn, because a lot of times parents are more mellow by the lastborn time, or by the time the lastborn comes along. What can you do? Treat each child as an individual. Make time to spend time with each child, just you and him. Avoid comparing one child to another. Make sure each child pulls his own weight in the family. So these are just very practical plans that you can do as a mother with your son. Here are the three things that matter most in your son's life. It's attitude, behavior, and character. If you as a mom can just focus, not on a thousand things, and there are a thousand things you could in fact focus on, but if you could always look and memorize this as pastors and leaders to help with moms and dads in this case, attitude, behavior, and character. For a male, this is very important. How is your son doing? Is he the kind of person you'd want to hire if you were a potential supervisor someday? If not, what needs to change? There are many young men in today's society who have negative attitudes, who basically have defeatist attitudes, who basically don't have that attitude that's positive and winsome, and an attitude that basically, you know, in fact, we have a word called the tude, to have an attitude. And it really means that they just don't have that pleasing desire. They don't have that smiling, I want to hire this person. I want this person in my life. Now, moms, pastors, Christian leaders, this is very important in the courtship process, because who wants to marry someone that has a tude or an attitude? Behavior. What are the basic habits of your son's life? Is your son, you know, learning how to work? Is he someone who has good habits in his life, cleanliness, order in his life? And then there's character. Who is he when no one's looking? Does he do the right thing because that is the right thing? Again, all of this has everything to do with his spirituality, his connecting to the Lord. Attitude, behavior, and character is a function of his walk with God. So these are critical, important things to home disciple your son, to love God, and have that relationship with God will have everything to do with the rest of his life. Okay, so let's talk about the discipline of your son. Well, here's five things that Dr. Kevin Lehman talks about that apply when they're very young, or even to some extent when they're older. Although it diminishes as they get older, if you led them correctly when they're young, you'll have a better time when they're older. Here's what he talks about. don't let your son push your buttons. In other words, don't discipline out of emotion. Because if you discipline out of emotion, it just seems like your son will keep pushing your buttons. And this is just a general principle that Dr. Kevin Lehman writes in all his books, so I would even say for parents, don't let your children push your buttons. Say it once. Turn your back. Walk away. Dr. Kevin Lehman says it works every time. Now, as I've read many of his books, here's something just a little complicated in this case. So you say it once, you turn your back. Now, if they completely respond in a selfish, non-listening way, you walk away, and they continue to go your way with no emotion, take your son, take your child for that matter, put that child on timeout, walk away, no emotion. When that child sees that all their little, you know, emotional reactions and whatnot are not going to push your buttons, when that child sees that you say what you say, you mean what you say, you don't create excuses for that child, whether that child is tired or whether you're tired, it's all the same. Your yes is yes, your no is no, and then move on. Now, as this goes through the teenage years, keep your yes be yes and your no, and be very clear. That way, you're not confusing your son. Your son doesn't have to have time to figure out how to manipulate his parents. Follow through. If you say something that's going to happen, make it happen. No wishy-washiness. No, I'm too tired to follow through. Your son's got your number, and if you don't follow through on what you said you'd do, he will test you to see how far he can push you, and you will say, you have to finish your science project for the fair before you play Xbox, and don't back down. The science project gets done first. If your son sneaks behind your back and plays Xbox anyway, he loses his Xbox privileges for that night and the next week. See, what's happening here is the sinful nature is in our children, just like it's in us. And we help him process, we help our children process that sinful nature to see that that sinful nature brings them consequences. Now, if you make it about your authority when you take away the Xbox, then your authority is what gets put on the stage. No, it's his actions that get put on the stage. Oh, I said to get your project done first. You played Xbox. Xbox must be hurting you to get your project done. So no problem. We'll put that away for tonight and next week. See, it's sort of like, wait a minute. You're being mean. No, I'm not. I'm helping you. You have to get your science project done. You somehow played Xbox. Xbox is making you stumble. I want to take Xbox out of your life for your benefit. Notice that follow through. Now, if you say, you know, you are a little tired and it's too much work, the teacher had to give you all that work and the science project is coming too soon, oh, just go play Xbox. I know I told you don't play it, but go play it anyway. See, what you're basically teaching your son is how to basically be a procrastinator, how to get around things, and how the consequences don't matter. You know, all of these things are easier said than done. It takes time and prayer and encouragement. But you know, your sons need you as a mom to be that balanced provider. Last time we talked about how you teach what femininity is about. A role of a mom to a son is very important. And as a Christian leader, these are principles you can teach. And you can, when you're doing counseling, you can notice if some of these principles are out of balance, you can maybe give a little encouragement or maybe show some of these quotes to somebody that you're leading. Whatever it is, understand this. Parenting is a covenant between God, you, your children, and God is there to help moms, dads, Christian leaders to even glorify more God more and more in the parenting relationships.